city just beyond the divide, where God's children shall rest eternal, there will ever abide. Daily striving to reach that homeland, we are going that way. Heading for glory, tell the story, we shall see heaven someday. Someday, by and by,
someday,
these eyes shall behold Him in that city on high. We must not linger, we must keep moving, Jesus is leading the way. Shouting and singing, joy bells ringing, we shall see heaven someday.
Like the saints who have gone before us, we're determined to stay in the path that is straight and narrow, leading us forward each day.
Though we have problems, Jesus is faithful, all our needs supply.
The time is now nearing for His appearing and for our heavenly flight.
Someday we shall see Jesus, someday by and by.
Someday
these eyes shall behold Him in that city on high. We must not linger, we must keep moving, Jesus is leading the way. Shouting and singing, joy bells ringing, we shall see heaven someday. Shouting and singing, joy bells ringing, we shall see heaven someday.
Hey. Amen. All right. Are you awake? You will be in a minute. I brought a special song. How many of you are sitting beside someone who apparently did not take a shower after gym night last night? Huh? Yeah. Oh, man. I'm looking around. Somebody, one of the fellows knocked on my door at 6:30 this morning. And I don't know why. I don't know if you were lost or if you were literally lost and knocking on the wrong door or if you're wanting to get saved. If you were bringing me breakfast, I don't know. But I caught it at the last minute, and I'll only say this. Believe me, you did not want me to answer that door, okay? And but if you want to talk to me about something, as soon as we get done here, if you'll find me, because I don't know, again, I don't know what it was all about. But anyways, I want to say thank you to Brother Angel for inviting me and trusting me with this. This is just an unbelievable convention. It really is. First class. And I hope that all of you teenagers on your way out the door will say thank you to every staff member of Faith Baptist Church, the ones that you know have kind of worked the last two or three days and countless hours before you ever even got here. And then once you load up and get on the bus and go to sleep, they're still going to be working to clean up and get the place prepared for Easter weekend and Sunday. Be sure to thank your counselors and your bus drivers and all the folks that brought you. It's not easy. Most of them are old, and it's hard to not get much sleep and sit in the pew and so forth. So be sure to thank them. I appreciate Faith Baptist Church again for supporting Brother Anderson and the love offering that you've been taking up for him and his church there and Gospelite Baptist Church, and then the basket in the room, which some of the guys from Mesquite helped me devour, amen, and caught them in the hallway one night. They wouldn't shut up in the hallway, so I thought I might as well throw some food out there at them, and they'll eat and be quiet, but no. So had a good time there. Those of you at Faith Baptist Church, we definitely look forward to coming back to the Revival Fires Conference here in just 3 or 4 weeks, I guess, and in all the different. I love preachers. I don't love to make fun of them, but I love to mimic them. And we don't have time to this morning. I give you a little Daryl Cox, amen. and some of the other guys, Bob Smith. I mean, he's like my mentor. He's like my great 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 granddad, but he's my mentor. And we really look forward. I'm just going to be a runt sitting in the pew when we come back in 3 or 4 weeks. Somebody said, "See you later, doctor," a minute ago. I said, "No, I'm doctor to it. I'm a nurse." And anyways, we do look forward to coming back then. Okay, all right. You're half asleep. I know you are because I am too. So we're going to sing "If You're Happy and You Know It," but we're not going to sing it. I know this is the North, and y'all are like, "If you're happy." Okay, we're not doing that. We can't. And the guy that quoted the scripture, oh my goodness, where did he go? There he is. Man, that was wonderful. Thank God for that ability to memorize. And then to do the drama behind it and the sign language. Is that what you were doing, sign language, I guess? Yeah. I couldn't read it, but I kind of knew what you were. But the drama, it kind of scared me at first, to be honest with you. Who shall... I'm listening. But 30 verses, good grief. I've memorized some scripture in my lifetime. Jesus wept. I won't get... I know. I worked on that all evening. I did. I went to Bible college with a guy. And this guy was goofy. He's a nice guy, but he just was goofy as can be. Still is. And he got up, and he was one of those guys in Bible college that, you know, they've preached a couple of times, and they've been in Bible college for a month. So they get up in student chapel and just want to slam everybody out in front of them. And bless God, you guys. And he literally, I think God has a sense of humor. If you think he does, I'm looking in the mirror, right? I know he has a sense of humor when I look in the mirror. He got up and he said, "You," and he's a really good guy. He didn't mean anything by it. But he was going to tell us all "You guys, you don't even study your Bible like you're supposed to. You can't even quote Jesus cried." Enough said. God has his way of humbling. I thought about it. I've got to spend some time with some of the staff and you guys and some of the ladies, the ladies I talked to, maybe some of the ladies, but just have such a sweet spirit. It's unbelievable. I don't know if it's a North thing or what, but I think it's because your pastor's Brother Angel, to be honest with you. He's a graceful guy. My wife loves Brother and Mrs. Angel. My wife tells me from time to time I'll preach or say something, and she's my biggest supporter, like most pastors' wives are. She's my biggest cheerleader. But sometimes she'll say, I'll say, "Yeah, I was a little rough tonight." She'll say, "Yeah, if you could just say it like Brother Angel says it, you know?" Like, well, thank you. I feel encouraged now. But I've enjoyed talking to Brother Bragg and Brother Caleb and others. So I had to bring this church staff job description with me. The pastor is able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, is more powerful than a locomotive, is faster than a speeding bullet, walks on water, and gives policies to God. The associate pastor, able to leap short buildings in a single bound, is as powerful as a switch engine, is just as fast as a speeding bullet, walks on water if the sea is calm, and talks with God. The bus director leaps short buildings with a running start, is almost as powerful as a switch engine, is faster than a speeding BB, walks on water if aware of where the stumps are, and talks with God if special request is approved. The Christian school administrator clears a tent, loses race with locomotive, can fire a speeding bullet, swims well, and is occasionally addressed by God. The youth director runs into small buildings, recognizes locomotives 2 out of 3 times, uses a squirt gun, knows how to use a water fountain, and mumbles to himself. And then the church secretary and the pastor's wife able to lift buildings to walk under them, kick locomotives off their tracks, catch a speeding bullet in their teeth, freezes water with a single glance. And when God speaks, she says, "May I ask who's calling?" Amen. All right, catch a speeding bullet. Freezes water with a single glance. I know I'm carnal again, but that just reminds me of old Cy on Duck Dynasty. These guys said, "I got to stare." He'll just stare at you. Never mind. Don't watch TV. All right, if you're happy and you know it, let's stand. Let's stand. We got awards to give away. Okay. Everybody ready? Ooh, I'm yawning. Here we go. We got to go. Here we go. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, then your face will really show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your hands are really short. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, say,
ah!
If you're happy and you know it, say,
ah!
If you're happy and you know it, then your ah really short. If you're happy and you know it, say,
ah!
If you're happy and you know it, say, how y'all doing? There you go. If you're happy and you know it, say, how y'all doing? If you're happy and you know it, you're how you doing are really short. If you're happy and you know it, say, how y'all doing? If you're happy and you know it, pick your nose. Okay. All right. We could go further. It works in junior church. Yeah. All right, Romans chapter 8. Grab your Bible there. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, you heard about the blonde. I think there was a blonde singing a minute ago. You heard about the blonde. She was looking for work, and so she was walking through a neighborhood, knocking on all these nice, fancy houses. And she knocked on a door and said, "Sir, I'm just looking for work. Is there anything I could do?" And this fellow said, well, I guess, you know, we need our porch painted, and I've got the paint already. I'll give you $50 if you're willing." She said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it. I'll do it." So the blonde took the paint, went outside, and the man's wife said, "You know, that wasn't right of you. She probably doesn't realize that the porch goes all the way around the house. You're only giving her $50? He said, "Be quiet, woman." It wasn't just a few minutes later, and the blonde comes knocking on the door and says, "Sir, I'm done." He said, "You're done already?" She said, "Yes, sir, I'm done. I even had enough paint to put two coats on it." His wife and him stood there. They were surprised. They said, "I can't believe she's already done." She said, "Yes, sir, I'm done. But it's a Lexus, not a porch." Anyhow, think about that one. All right, about 10 minutes, all the blondes are going to laugh. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And verse number 16, let's begin reading in Romans 8, 16. The Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon," boy, aren't you glad Paul's a Southerner, "for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then verse number 28, we'll be seated. This is my life's verse. I love this verse. And verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. My ministry theme is the thought that there in Esther for such a time as this. And people come and go all the time, it seems like, in the ministry. And I've just developed the mindset of, you know, for such a time as this. And if God's able to use some folks in our church for a couple of years, wonderful, and things like that. But this is my verse right here. As a Christian, as a preacher's kid, as a pastor, as a parent, as a husband, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want to preach for a little while on this thought, staying encouraged in a discouraging world. Staying encouraged in a discouraging world. No doubt about it, teenagers get just as discouraged as anybody else. Maybe different, maybe for different reasons on different levels. But teenagers get just as discouraged. And the best way for you to start making bad decisions, the best way for you to mess up your life is for you, and the best way for you to trample over everything that God's done in your life is for you to get so discouraged that you just decide, you know, it's not worth it anymore. It's just not worth it. Not worth going forward, not worth keeping my commitments. And for some of you, you may even have a mindset it's not worth living. I want to show you how to stay encouraged today. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us from your word? Holy Spirit of God, would you meet with us? Lord, I know that our flesh is weak this morning, and the teenagers and adults were out really late, and it's been a long week, and there's much travel still today. But God, I pray that we'd focus here for just a little while and find some ways from your word, not from a preacher, but from your word, directly from your word, on how to get ourselves encouraged when we get discouraged. Help us, I pray today, and we'll thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. You could be seated there. Verse 17 in our text is a very encouraging verse, and I don't have a lot of time. Don't want to spend a lot of time developing too much. I want to get to the points here in just a minute. But the Bible says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we are heirs. We have an inheritance awaiting us, the Bible says, in heaven. Remember, Jesus told his disciples in John 14, in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So the Bible says that in heaven, we're going to have a mansion. It doesn't say that you're going to have a room. I've got a room here on earth. The Bible says in heaven, I'm going to have a mansion. And I think probably in my mansion, there is going to be like a hot tub and all kinds of stuff like that. But we're going to have, you believe the Bible, right? We're going to have a mansion in heaven. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him, that loved him. And I know the next verse says, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. But friend, listen, none of us, if we read the book of Revelation, if we do the best we can to try to draw the picture, none of us can fully understand the blessings of God, the goodness of God, the greatness that's available to us one day when we get to heaven. It's only a matter of time. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, listen, reserved in heaven for you. And so one of these days, We're all going to go home to be with the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that we cannot even imagine how wonderful heaven is going to be. We sing that song in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. And I like those Stamps Baxter type of songs and the Glad Reunion Day and songs like that. And boy, it's going to be wonderful one day when we get to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, right now we have to live in this old what you've heard called the nasty now and now. It's just there are times it's just not that fun here on earth. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4. And I want to give you a lot of scripture in the beginning and then get to those points. But 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says in verse number 8, just the first part of that, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And whether you're a teenager or an adult, there's going to be trouble in this life. Job was one of those that had trouble, and we'll not get into all the trouble that he had, but he had endured more than probably any of us in this room ever have or ever will endure. But the Bible says this in Job 14 and verse number 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And though Job retained his integrity, and though Job stayed faithful to God, you can read through the book of Job and find out Job got very discouraged. The Bible says in Job 5 and verse number 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I live in the country, and I had a bonfire the other day. Just had a lot of brush and wood collected there from limbs that had fallen and some crepe myrtles that we had trimmed at our church. And well, it's already springtime down in the south, even though it's a little cold there right now, but it's nice. And so I burned this fire, and those sparks, you know, they'll shoot up out of that fire. And what the Bible says here is, just as sure as sparks fly up out of a fire, you're going to have trouble in your life. You're going to have some hard times in your life. In Job 3, the Bible says this, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Wasn't cursing God. He just got discouraged in his life. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. In verse 11, he said, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? He said, boy, I tell you, this is so tough. I almost wish I had never been born. The Bible says in Job 10 and verse number 18, wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Job was very discouraged. Life can be discouraging. Whether you're 38 or 68 or 18 or 8 years old, life can be discouraging to all of us. Now, as a teenager, there are, you know, minor things to us today as adults. But as a teenager, I remember it can be discouraging. Those zits start breaking out on your face. I've got some encouraging news for you. You'll get through it one day. Let me tell you, I'm 38 and I still get zits. Yeah. I told our church on Sunday, and we have a good time, and I told them, I said, y'all, I'm nervous as can be about going to Brother Angel's. I said, you know what I'm most nervous about is getting a big old fat red zit right on my nose. That's the worst way to try to preach to teenagers, because that's all they're seeing right there is Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. But you get that when you get to be an adult, you learn to turn it into a sport, you know, like popping those corn kernels. And yeah, it turns into a sport. But when you're a teenager and you're dealing with that and your face is broken and you're discouraged and maybe you have to go and get glasses and maybe you have to go and get braces. I've had trouble with my teeth all my life. The dentist looked at me about 20 years ago and said, here's my advice, just don't ever smile again. But as a teenager, as an adult, you learn to laugh at yourself. I'll give you some advice. Learn to laugh at yourself because everybody else is. But as a teenager, you know, the glasses and you can't get your hair fixed just right and you stink even though you took a shower and the zits. And these are surface, these are minor, but to a teenager, it can be a discouraging thing and others maybe have something you don't have or whatever and you get down and you get discouraged. Of course, those math tests and those science tests and English tests and so forth. But those can be discouraged. But then there are other more serious times in a teenager's life when you could really get down and out. You really can get your head down. You have a relationship problem. You have a friend, and that friend turns their back on you, or something happens there. You have a youth pastor and youth pastor's wife that you look up to and you love them. And a few years down the road, right deep in the heart of your teenage years, God moves them to another ministry, and you're heartbroken and you're discouraged because they were the ones that you confided in. Or maybe you have a pastor that did the same. Or maybe you have some ministry, some staff member that's fallen into sin and it discouraged you. Maybe you've lost a parent. Maybe you've lost a sibling as teenagers. Maybe your mom and dad have gotten a divorce. I mean, there are way more serious problems in the life of a teenager than just whether or not you had it woke up with a zit on your face this morning. But all of it can be discouraging, and it can combine to a place where you go to church or you go to conference or you go to camp, and I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And you love life, and you could go home tonight and get news that you never thought you would get, and show up to church Sunday morning just kind of dragging yourself in, thinking, sometimes I wish I never would have ever been born. Did you know in our chapter there in Romans chapter number 8, this life that we live is described, I think, by three words. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, one of the words that describes our life is sufferings. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a good time. I'm not saying that the good far outweighs the bad. It does, but our life is described by the word sufferings. Another word that's used is found there in verse number 22, 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We don't have time today to talk about the groaning of creation and the earthquakes and the fires and the droughts and all, and our old body groaning. When you woke up this morning, I bet your body was groaning. You didn't want to wake up. Oh, and that's what this life is. That's the way this life is characterized. Sufferings and groanings. And then later on there, it tells us, it uses the word infirmities. Likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And friend, that's this life. No one ever promised that you were going to have a good day every day. No one ever promised that you were going to be on cloud nine. No one ever promised, God never promised in His Word that every day you wake up, you're going to be happy, things are going to go well, things are going to go your way, you're going to grow into the young lady or the young man that you want to be, you're going to do well on all your tests, your parents are always going to get along, your friends are always going to be there, the staff member's never going to quit. God never promised that in His Word. But He did give us a few promises that will help us keep our head up. It's very easy in life to get discouraged. But can I say it to you? It would be just as easy to stay discouraged. But God never intended for teenagers to stay discouraged. God never intended for adults, for moms and dads to stay discouraged. The Bible says in John 10 and verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Listen to me now. The devil would like nothing more than to steal away what God's done in your heart maybe over the last 48 hours. He would like nothing more than to steal away the commitment and the decision that you made for God. And it says here that the devil or the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. He'd love to kill your joy. He'd love to kill your walk with God. And ultimately, his goal is to destroy your life. To say, what's a destroyed life? That destroyed life is a life that when you're 18 years old, it's so much about I that you're not giving anything to anyone else. What's a destroyed life? A destroyed life is the life that is no longer making the right kind of decisions. Time spent in prayer, time spent in the Scriptures, seeking wise counsel, Spirit-led. Hey, the way that the devil destroys your life is it gets you to that place where you're trampling underfoot everything God ever gave you. And the reason you do that is because you got so discouraged. Jesus said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and destroy. But I love the second part of that verse. He said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So what is it that God's given us to keep us encouraged? What is it that He's given us to help get our chin back up? What are some truths that we can cling to in this ever-changing world in which we live? Look there in Romans chapter 8. Let's get it right out of the text here. Romans chapter number 8. Number one is this. Even though I sometimes get discouraged, I can be encouraged by a prophecy. Even though I sometimes get discouraged, I can be encouraged by a prophecy. Look at Romans 8 there in verse number 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That hope that he's talking about there in Romans chapter 8 is the same hope that we see in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Back in John 14, where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's that inheritance. That's that being an heir of God. That's that being that joint heir with Christ. But I love verse number 3. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so on your deepest, darkest day as a teenager, when you get the worst news, when your head's down and you don't know what to do, realize that could be the day that Jesus splits the eastern sky. You believe your Bible, Jesus could come back at any moment. Hey, on a lighter note, he could come back before that math test. Yeah. But on a heavier note, I'm telling you, when you feel like the world is against you, nothing is going right, your friends have forsaken you, your heart is broken, the family's breaking up, you realize right then at that moment, according to the Bible, Jesus could come again. I love what the Lord told us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says this in verse number 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen to this. While we look not at the things which are seen, the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And he goes into chapter 5 and verse 1 and says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So number one, even though I sometimes get discouraged, I can be discouraged, I can be encouraged rather, by a prophecy. Number two, even though we get discouraged from time to time, I can be encouraged by a prayer. Look at verse number 26 in chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. I don't know if in your teenage years if you get to this place, but I know as an adult, as a young adult, as a young couple, and my wife and I have been married 14 years here in a couple of weeks, and have a 12-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son, and pastor the church there for a little over 12 years, and I've learned early on that there are times when I'm so burdened down, I'm so loaded down with the cares of this world and discouraging factors, that I begin to pray and I don't even know what to ask for. Don't even know what to say. Just, God, I need you, and I need an answer, and I need a help, and I need your hand and your wisdom. And God, God, I need you right now. We don't even sometimes know what to pray for, but I tell you what, prayer will encourage you. Why is that? Because once I've prayed about a matter, I can be encouraged by the fact that God's will be done in my life. Now, I may not like it. I may not agree with it. But God's will be done. Turn to Philippians chapter number 4. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. While you're turning there, I want to read to you out of 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. I want you to listen to this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The petitions there are the requests. I don't want to put God on a human level, but the Bible gives God human attributes so that you and I would understand Him. Hands, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. What the Bible just told me there is that if I'll pray according to the will of God, God, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I desire. But Lord, I want Your will to be done. Whatever Your will is in my life, the Bible says if I pray according to the will of God, that I have the petitions that I desire of Him. In other words, that once I've prayed and said, Lord, I'm looking for Your will in this situation, hey, the Bible says that my request is on His desk. It's there. Okay, now, with that in mind, look at there, Philippians chapter number 4. Let me get over there real quick. I know you're tired. Just hang with me. And hopefully something will stick out that will kind of help you now or in the future. Philippians chapter number 4. Listen to what the Bible says in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. God wants us to rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Your calmness of mind. No extremes. In other words, verse 5 means relax. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's right there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your, what? Request, petitions, your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, here's the reward. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, there is a verse 6 and there's a verse 7. There's not a verse 6 and a half. There's not a verse 6 that says, hey, let your request be made known unto God. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. There's not a verse 6 and a half that says, and won't you get your prayers answered? So he doesn't say, calm down, don't worry, don't keep yourself up all night. Just pray in the will of God and ask God and wait on God and see what God will do. And it says your request should be made known unto God. And then it doesn't say once you get your prayer answered, then the peace of God. Once you get the prayer answered your way, then you can be encouraged. No, the Bible says there that once I have prayed, once I've made my request known unto God, I can know this. I can know this, that whether I like it or not, whether it feels good or not, whether I necessarily agree with it or not, or I can see the reason or not, I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I believe in that importunity, knocking and knocking and knocking, and I prayed, and I prayed. So once the answer comes, boy, I can be encouraged by the fact that this is tough, but I know it had to be God's will. Had to be God's will. I can be encouraged by a prophecy. I can be encouraged by a prayer. Let me say thirdly, I can be encouraged by a purpose. I can be encouraged by a purpose there in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are all the called according to His purpose. Teenagers, I hope you'll learn this now. Nothing in your life happens that God doesn't allow. God's not the cause of sin. He's not the cause of divorce. He's not the cause of people falling into sin. He's not the cause. But friend, listen to me. You're one of His own. You're a child of God. And God watches over you. And God cares for you. And everything in your life that has happened and that is happening and that will happen, God wants to use that to better you somehow. He wants to use that now. He wants to use that in your future to be a help and a blessing to others. But the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things. Well, that means that even though, as a pastor, if someone stabs me in the back or someone breaks my heart, I can just know, you know, this is not fun. And God may get them down the road. But you know what? God allowed that in my life for a reason. I can be encouraged by a prophecy. The Lord could come back and all this is over with. Hey, Mesquite, the Lord could come back before you have to make that long bus ride home. Yeah. Oh, nice big fancy bus. I was on their bus this morning. And one of these days they may pass it down to us. The bus which falls from the rich man's table. In East Texas. But I'll be waving at y'all in the plane. Anyhow, here's the thing. Before that long bus ride home, Jesus could just come back right now. And we'll take that quick ride home. So let's get our head up and realize Jesus is coming again. I can find encouragement in a prophecy. I can find encouragement in a prayer because I know what I pray for. But believe me, folks, we would all agree that we have our desires. But I think all of us ultimately want to be in the will of God. And God knows better for us than we know for ourselves. And we may not understand it now. We may never understand it. And folks say, well, when we get to heaven, then maybe we'll ask God why. I don't really think we will. I think when we get to heaven, it's not going to matter anymore. But I can find hope and encouragement in the fact that, you know what? We've prayed about it. And so whatever happens, we know that we at least asked God. But we want to be in God's will. So we're just going to trust Him. I can be encouraged by a purpose. God makes no mistakes. And I may not understand it, and you may not understand it. It may not make sense. Here a few years ago, two or three years ago now, we had a deacon that died, and he was about 90 years old. He was a deacon to Brother Hiles when Brother Hiles was at Miller Road in Garland, and he was one of my deacons in the church. Great, great, faithful soul winner, a great man of God. And he died. And we knew, you know, age was getting to him. We knew. He just died of natural causes. And I stood there the night. In fact, he had not opened his eyes for two or three days. And when I walked in the room, I'd been out of town. When I walked in the room, and I said, well, Brother Benner, you're going to leave us. And he opened those eyes. And boy, God gives you some of those special moments sometimes. When I was preaching his funeral, I walked off the platform. Walked to the back door, and one of my men just had this look on his face. And he told me, he said, Brother Pope, the chairman of our deacons, Brother Pope just dropped dead of a heart attack. And so two of the greatest men in our church, within 3 days' time, I buried both of them. A month later, I had to bury a 24-year-old girl that was in my youth department, grew up in our church. 24-year-old girl got leukemia about a year before. Well, that's tough to lead a church through circumstances like that and times like that. And I don't understand why a 24-year-old girl that loved God and loved her preacher and her pastor's wife, loved church, got up and would sing and loved the Lord. I'll never understand in this lifetime why a 24-year-old girl lost her life. While you got some 24-year-old girls out there acting like idiots, that doesn't make sense to us. But I know God's got a purpose in everything. I can be encouraged by a purpose. I want to say also I can be encouraged by a person. The Bible says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hey, God's got a plan for our life, and that plan is that we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, we love it. We love the power of his resurrection there, Philippians chapter number three, I believe it is. We love the power of his resurrection, but that next part we don't really like, the fellowship of his sufferings. You fellowship because you have something in common. The fellowship of his sufferings. And so I can be encouraged by the fact that, you know, the more that we go through, the more that we face, the more battles we have, that I can respond the right way to my enemies. I can stay faithful to God. I can say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I can become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one is this. I can be encouraged by a promise. Look at verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may face something as a teenager and say, you know, I got saved. I made a commitment to God. I've been reading my Bible. I've been faithful to church. I've been going to the youth rallies. I've been going to soul winning. I'm working on a bus. I'm doing everything right. But God allowed my parents to split up. I'm doing everything that I thought I was supposed to do. Why am I suffering? I just want to say to you this morning that the love of Christ does not eliminate our suffering. The love of Christ, neither does it end at suffering. God loves you just as much today as He did yesterday. But I'll say to you that love of Christ does help us to endure suffering. Life's full of ups and downs, mountains and valleys. You have a specific certain kind as teenagers. We have certain kinds as adults. They're sunshine here. And when I looked earlier where my plane's going to land, there's rain. That quick it can change. You may go home happy, tired but happy. When you get home, mom says, sit down. We need to talk. You may get to church on Sunday and say, man, I'm so excited about what God's doing. And a pastor gets up and says, hey, brother so-and-so, the youth pastor has been hired as pastor of such-and-such church, and we're going to have a going-away party. And listen, you say, I just can't believe it. We can find encouragement in a prophecy. All this stuff we get wound up about, it could be over with today. We can find encouragement in a prayer. Well, spend time in prayer and then trust God. His will is going to be done. I've asked the Lord, and I can lift my head up and say, you know what? I know what I desire, and I know what I want, but I've always wanted to be in the will of God. So, boy, we could just move forward knowing that God's will was done. I can find encouragement in a purpose. I know that everything that goes on around me happens in some way to affect my life. And I know that God's got a purpose. I know God's got a plan. I know God's going to do something with this in my life. On down the road, I can find encouragement in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through sufferings and tough times, as folks mock us, as folks reject us, as things happen around us, I can know that I'm becoming more like my Savior if I just stay faithful to God. And we can find encouragement in a promise. And God said He loves us. He'll love us through it all. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. One last verse is this. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Hey, get in that book right there, because all I just did was take Romans chapter 8 and show you how God tells us we can get encouraged once again. I love this verse, Psalm 119 and verse number 71. Listen to this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Boy, isn't that something? So kids, today you may not understand it. I can guarantee you some do. I talked to some of you last night after church. Some understand exactly what I'm talking about right now. And going through times and you think, I do not understand this. But you read Romans chapter 8 on your bus ride home and you'll realize, you know what? God's got a plan for everything in my life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Lord, would You help us today? Lord, I pray that we'll have safe bus rides home and safe trips home. And God, I pray for every one of these teenagers. I love teenagers. Lord, I pray that every one of them are successful for You. I pray, God, they'll stay faithful to You in their church and their youth department. And one day they'll perhaps go off to Bible college, and some of them will be called to preach, and some of them will become pastors' wives. Some will be good deacons in a church. Some will be good, faithful Sunday school teachers. Some will keep the nursery and be a great blessing to moms and to a pastor. But Lord, I pray that you'll help them during those discouraging times that they'll face as teenagers, whether it's something that's just surface and growing up, and or whether it's something really deep that cuts them deeply. God, I pray that you'd encourage their heart, help them to stay on track for you, and to realize that the devil would like nothing more for them to stay discouraged, to just steal away their joy and just destroy every plan that you have for them. Help them to live that abundant Christian life. Help us all, I pray today, in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe the Lord worked on your heart. Maybe you're a little discouraged today. Maybe you just want to pray about staying committed when you go back home. Now's the time.
Take your time. We're in plenty of good shape, so maybe you need to go back home and you need to have a quiet time. It'll be a time that start your prayer life, start your Bible time.